Chazor zeichen nishe bachach hatu shag v'am Yehudim sechens vachem daf samach zayin. Zok digamara brises says, Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Yeshua, we can prove this from the case of an oshem that was shechted in the north, being in its proper place, for the sake of a shlomim, which although it's offered not for its sake, it's still subject to me'ilah. The same would be for an oiler bird not offered also not for its sake. It also remains subject to me'ilah. Rabbi Yeshua responded, the case of the oshem is different, for although it's not offered for its sake, it's offered in its proper place. This is different than the case of an oiler bird, which is offered not for its sake and offered not in its proper location. Rabbi Eliezer said, we can prove this from the case of an oshem that was shechted in the south, which is not its proper place for the sake of a shlom, so it's not lishma either, which although it's offered not for its sake and not in its proper place, it's still subject to me'ilah. The same would be for an oiler bird offered not for its sake, not in its proper place, it also should be subject to me'ilah. Rabbi Yeshua said, no, the case of oshem is different. Although it was not offered for its sake and not in its proper place, but it was offered with its proper procedure. This is different than the case of an oiler bird, which was offered not for its sake and not in its proper place, but was offered also not with its proper procedure. Eliezer then remained silent. Rava asked, why did he remain silent? He should have responded with the case of an oshem that was shechted in the south for the sake of a shlom and for the sake of a different owner. Although it's offered not for its sake and not in its proper place and not with the proper procedure, it's still subject to me'ilah. From the fact that he did not respond with this, it must be that he realized the reason of Rabbi Yeshua and also realized that it could not be refuted with this case. It's as Rav Adar Bar Ahava said, Rabbi Yeshua would say that a bird oiler that was offered below the chut asikra with the procedure of a chatas for the sake of a chatas, as soon as he does a malika to one simen, it becomes a bird chatas. If so, we should also say that a bird chatas that was offered above the chut asikra with the oiler procedure and for the sake of an oiler, as soon as malika is done on one simen, it should become a bird oiler. You can't say that it will in fact become an oiler because Rabbi Yechon in the name of Rabbi Noah said that the version of the Mishnah as we have it is proper, which presumably means to say that Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't argue in the case of a chatas offered above the chut asikra. And Fitigmar, Rabbi Noam may have meant that this is the version that should be applied to the entire Mishnah, meaning that although he only argues regarding the oilo offered below the chut asikra, it should be understood as if he's also arguing regarding the chatas offered above the chut asikra. Another teretz, Rav Ashi said, Rabbi Yeshua only holds that way regarding an oilo bird that was offered below the chut asikra as a chatas for the sake of a chatas. The reason is that the malika of a chatas is on one simon, whereas the malika of an oil is on two simonim. Now, since an oil is not brought below the chutas sikra, as soon as the malika cuts through the first simon, it becomes a chatas. However, with regard to a bird chatas that's done above the chutas sikra and offered as an oil for the sake of an oil, since we have learned that malika can be done in any place, as soon as he cuts through the first simon, it becomes a chatas. And since he's doing it not for the sake of a chatas, it becomes possible. By then cutting through the second simon, it would not transform it to an oil, since it already had the status of a possible chatas. Reacting, Gemara Mishnah says, if the oiler bird of one woman and the chatas bird of another woman were given to the kohen, and he mistakenly offered them both above the chut asikra as oilois, one is kosher, one is not. If you offer them both below the chut asikra as chatois, one is kosher, one is not. If you offer them, if you offered one above as an oiler and one below as a chatas, they're both possible, because we say that the chatas may have been offered above and the oiler may have been offered below. Now, according to Rav Adar Bar Ahava's explanation of Rabbi Yeshua, in this last case, even if the oiler was offered below, we should say that it becomes kosher as a chatos. And fitting Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua only said this when there was one person involved, not when we're dealing with the karbanos of two different people. Fact, the Gemara Mishnah continues on the above case and says, if in addition these two women gave the kohen a pair of unspecified birds to be offered for them, and another pair designating one as a chatas and one as an oila without specifying which is for which woman, and the kohen then went and offered all of the birds as oilas above the chut asikra, so half of them are kosher. If you offered all of them below the chut asikra as chatois, half of them are kosher. If you offered half above the chut asikra and half below, only the unspecified pair is kosher and is divided between the two women. Now, why wouldn't at least one of that specified pair be kosher? Even if it was the oiler that was offered below the chut asikra, it should become kosher as a chatos. You can't answer that this mishnah doesn't follow Rabbi Yeshua, because the mishnah continues giving variations of cases which would require a woman who brought bird karbanos, which were then mixed up, to have to bring a number of additional birds in order to fulfill her obligation, with the climax of the mishnah requiring her to bring seven, and according to Ben Azai, eight additional birds. The mishnah then ends with a statement of Rabbi Yeshua saying, this is what people mean when they say that a live ram has one sound and a dead one has seven sounds. This shows that the Mishnah is following the view of Rabbi Yeshua. If so, the Mishnah contradicts Rabbi Yeshua as explained by Rav Adar Bar Ahava. And furthermore, Rabbi Yeshua, as explained by Rav Adar Bar Ahava, only meant that the oila becomes a chatas with regard to it not being subject to me'ilah. He never meant that it becomes a chatas to the extent of it fulfilling the person's chatas obligation.